Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Drama in Green Bay. Good news on the home front here in Connecticut. And hopefully, God willing, a little bit of return to normalcy. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr. with you guys. Jhené going to join us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. As always, she is getting right the Los Angeles Sporks, getting ready for some regular season WNBA basketball coming up soon. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to our guy, our uncle, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, in a little bit about some of these quarterbacks getting ready to make their mark on the NFL as we still bask in the afterglow of the draft weekend that was. But before we get to that, before we get into, I think, a couple of fascinating crossovers. It's always nice when the world of sports kind of ties things together for us, because I think in the NBA, with the night that we saw from Steph Curry on the Marvel Arena of Heroes broadcast and their win against the Pelicans, and another triple-double outing for Russell Westbrook, ensuring that he's going to average a triple-double for now his fourth season in the NBA. Remarkable, but what we've learned about those two as we look at the stretch they're on together, and what we learn about NFL quarterbacks, because we had some big news dropped at the end of our show yesterday. Courtney Cronin, our ESPN Vikings reporter, made some big news with a conversation had before the draft about Kirk Cousins. So I want to get into Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, and what we learned from Jimmy Garoppolo this morning. But first, guys, it's opening day for the Hartford Yard Goats. Respect the damn yard. We get it going today against the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Now, they are on the road, but best believe the crown jewel of Hartford, which has it, by the way, we'll be back and up running like it used to be very, very soon. Rally gallons for everyone here. Bears barbecue down the left field line. It is going to be exciting. So we are ready for the summer out here as we slowly roll along here. Shout out to Connecticut for getting itself properly vaxxed so we can enjoy this summer to the fullest. But I am fully ready for this right now. I've managed not to spill on my Yard Goats jersey all day. So make sure you respect the yard. We'll get back at it real, real soon. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And as we mentioned, there's been so much focus on Aaron Rodgers and this Packers story over the last 24 hours, really over the last weekend. And we're at a bit of a standstill right now as far as new information about this. Brian Gutekunst, the Packers general manager, reiterated for everybody yesterday that right now Aaron Rodgers isn't going a damn bit of everywhere.
Obviously, you know, he's our quarterback. He's our leader. We've been working through this for, you know, a little while now. And, you know, I just think it may take some time, but, you know, he's the guy that kind of makes this thing go. So he gives us the best chance to win, and we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers.
And you'd understand that being the position right now. It's not surprising to anyone. What is surprising is how this has gone down. And I want to know where people are at on this, because I heard a lot of the conversation around the shows this morning about, is this a bad look for Aaron Rodgers? Are people out on Aaron Rodgers for this? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Are you on Aaron Rodgers' side in this or the Green Bay Packers' side? Because I'm genuinely curious where people stand, because we've now seen Terry Bradshaw come out and have words. I haven't heard it yet, but I saw Brett Favre was out here talking about Aaron Rodgers again, which is always dangerous when Brett Favre is talking at this point. We played the sound from Warren Moon yesterday saying these guys are asking for too much. It's getting a little bit too greedy. On and on down the list, like the familiar things have started to pop up of old players not liking the young guys going after too much, trying to use all this power they have. But I'm genuinely concerned or genuinely curious about where fans are. 888-SAY-ESPN. Are you on Aaron Rodgers' side or the Packers? Because I'll tell you why Aaron Rodgers' position on this makes a little more sense to me than I think it does to most. And I think we can look at the recent examples from Jimmy Garoppolo, from Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, to learn a lot about why. Because a lot of people always ask, what do these franchises really owe their star players? Yesterday, Courtney Cronin, our ESPN Vikings reporter, put out a report that said the Minnesota Vikings had told Kirk Cousins they were planning to take a quarterback in this draft, told Kirk Cousins that reportedly they, at 14, the Minnesota Vikings, where they picked in the first round, if Justin Fields out of Ohio State had dropped that far, they were prepared to take a run at him. Now, again, they communicated that with Kirk Cousins, who has been their big money quarterback since 2018. Then you had Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo, who watched the San Francisco 49ers quarterback story be the entire story of the pre-draft. Jimmy Garoppolo, who all his teammates and coaches praised for showing up, for going to the virtual meetings, for being a team player. That Jimmy Garoppolo joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning on ESPN Radio, and he talked about just that, communication with their front office that went into, ultimately led to, Trey Lance out of North Dakota State being taken third overall. This is what Jimmy G had to say.
Well, the communication has been good. There really hasn't been anything unsaid. Everything's been put on the table. And, you know, it's kind of one of those situations, you know, I'm just happy to have the opportunity to play football. At the end of the day, that's what I'm here for. That's what I signed up for. And, you know, as long as I have the opportunity to go out there, win some games, and play good football, I mean, that's all you could ask for at the end of the day. All you really need is an opportunity. I mean, if you get an opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And I'll say this about Jimmy. He's saying the communication was great with the front office. We're working on a sliding scale with all these guys, right? When we ask again the question of what do these teams owe these players? For Jimmy Garoppolo, I didn't think it was much in San Francisco. He's been a good quarterback for them. He's been a winning quarterback for them. But we know that assigning wins overwhelmingly to quarterbacks is still probably not the way to do it. Jimmy Garoppolo knows he's got to be a great teammate and a great team player for people to continue to want him, because being around Kyle Shanahan will make people think a little bit more of you. We saw that happen in the pre-draft with Mac Jones. But they still had the courtesy to say, hey, you know what's going to happen in this draft. We let you know. Kirk Cousins, maybe another rung up on the totem pole here. A guy who, because of that doubled up franchise tag, found his way to serious, fully guaranteed money. Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, when they drafted a quarterback, they drafted Kellamon out of Texas A&M in the third round. I'll just tell you from personal experience, because having buddies all around the league that are still playing, when I check in post-draft, it's usually only when you see someone drafted fourth round or above to be like, hey, are you good? When you see someone drafted fourth round or above at your position, unless you're absolutely one of the untouchables, you know that's usually done with, all right, we're kind of questioning your job now. We're starting to wonder if maybe we should look at some other options. And I'm not saying Kellen Mond is that guy, but I'm saying Kellen Mond is an indicator of where they're going. And again, the report from Courtney Cronin says if Justin Fields had made it down to 14, that opportunity was worth it to them. Now, why it wasn't worth it to go up three spots and potentially grab him instead of letting the Bears get him in the division is a little beyond me. But it sent a message, one that was apparently communicated to Kirk Cousins, who, again, is finding out that over a long enough timeline, being consistent but not special isn't going to be a lasting formula. The NFL tends to reward special or consistent, and the shelf life for the latter is much longer. See DeSean Jackson, see Ted Ginn Jr., see guys that have special skills that tend to last for a really long time because people look for special. And so that brings us all the way back to Aaron Rodgers, who is special, who's one of the greatest to ever do it. What do you owe that guy? And that seems to be where the difference is. If you're telling me that San Francisco and Minnesota can communicate with their quarterbacks in a way to let them know what's coming down the pipeline, and that wasn't even a quarterback being taken in the first round necessarily, for Jimmy Garoppolo, entirely different scenario. For Kirk Cousins, ended up being a third rounder. But for Aaron Rodgers, for us to seem like, and for all accounts to seem like, this was a move that he was not prepared for. I'm not saying there's any guarantee that Aaron Rodgers would have handled that perfectly. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem like a difficult guy. But special is the commodity that gets rewarded. I knew in every locker room I was in, we were going to be treated fairly, but not the same. And that holds here now. You think I think I'm getting treated the same as Stephen A. Smith? No, I wouldn't expect it, because I'm not an idiot. Like, we understand how this goes. I'm not on General Hospital taking down people with the guy. How about that? Stephen A. Smith. I didn't know General Hospital, they had people shooting folks out here. But Stephen A. gets to come on General Hospital and save the day.
I mean, not for nothing. Why did it take us 10 minutes to get to that?
That is true. Really burying the lead on that. That's the host's fault. That's on me. That's why I know I'm not getting treated the same as Stephen A. Smith, because I would have brought that. He would have brought that up off the top. He said, cut the music, and brought it right in there. But the point is, special gets rewarded. And whether you think Aaron Rodgers being a little dramatic or not, He is the one that ultimately holds the keys to all of this. He is the one that another team would bend over backwards to get at this point. And so, you're Green Bay, and you make a bad bet on this. Why you're not doing everything in your power to go back on that, and more importantly, why you didn't buy into that ounce of prevention. Prehab this thing, communicate this thing, work this out so you don't find yourself in the position you're in now. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Whose side are you on, Aaron or Green Bay? We'll get to that. Plus, coming up next, do people owe an apology to Russell Westbrook? We'll tell you why, not me. Next, you're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Free and easy will have you ready to go for the summer. We got a whole lot of people with the second shot in them around here that are looking longingly at the summer. Fellas, how we feeling? Janae and Golic Jr.
Number two.
Here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike going to be back with us in the 5 o'clock hour. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're going to get to your calls, 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. On whose side you're on, Aaron Rodgers or the Green Bay Packers? We're going to hear from Brett Favre, who of course has to weigh in on this because why the hell not? And we'll also get to in a little bit some bold claims being made about Russell Westbrook. He had a triple-double with like 21 assists and 24 rebounds, something insane. And he's going to average a triple-double for the fourth season in his career. And we do this thing where everyone's like, why don't we appreciate Russell Westbrook enough? And I'm like, we do it literally every time he does this, which is almost every other game. We talk about him plenty, and then we get to the playoffs, and most of the time that stops before we get to anything valuable. And that's not like a diss like it sounds, but we just know the way the NBA calendar is prioritized. So we're going to get to plenty of that. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. But we also have coming up for you later in the show, because we just came off the NFL draft, our way too early big board of things coming up for the rest of 2021. Like anything in here plays. I, for one, am going to make the case. And now this is a big board that was voted on by our staff here. We put together all the things. There's some sports stuff in there, but it's mostly just the everything else. I am going to make a hard push, and I mean a hard push, for Chinese buffets. It's something I have missed so much in the last year, is just the ability to go and gorge myself at a buffet with a bunch of people that I've never met before, knowing that once we're locked in that room, we're free of judgment here. Is anyone going to fight me on buffets here? Cliff, Devin, guys, where are we at on the Chinese buffet as far as the 2021 big board? Am I the only one fighting for this?
No, I'm 100% with you. The Chinese buffet is fire, first of all, and I definitely can't wait to get my hands on some of that teriyaki chicken.
We can literally use our hands now. 2020, second shot, baby.
That is true. Second shot, boys in the building. I don't know if using your hands is ever okay, but we're going to work out.
Number two.
And I'm dipping into the ice cream afterwards, too.
Oh, a
must. The ice cream machine, bro. Oh, man.
No greater feeling. It might be broken when you go to certain establishments, but more often than not, when you're hitting any sort of buffet, that ice cream machine at the end is where I go crazy. Shout out to Sweet Tomatoes. Rest in peace out in Scottsdale, Arizona. I used to, as a youth, just absolutely baptize myself in that ice cream machine.
Yo, gummy bears, sprinkles, anything you can find, Oreo cookies, anything crumbled you can find, just throw it on top.
I was Chef Curry with it when you got to that ice cream. They have like the other dessert tray there. I don't know if anyone ever been to a Sweet Tomatoes. It's like a salad bar, but really it just turns into buffet style eating. And I used to go and get one of the warm brownies from the other area, bring it home, and then put that down there as a nice base layer for the ice cream. Oh, I had to like step away and just give myself the Emerald Bam for that.
It sounds like you're a buffet connoisseur, bro.
A buffet kind of. Shout out to Chinne Agwumike, who's going to join us soon, who apparently somewhere along the way decided that pronouncing buffet was something she didn't need to know right. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So Brett Favre decided to speak up about Aaron Rodgers earlier today. I have not heard this yet, but this will be interesting to see, because a lot of people have pointed out Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers came into the league under the same circumstances that Jordan Love is in now. He is now reprising the Brett Favre role, but it was pointed out by a lot of people, and it's true. Brett Favre had already been threatening retirement by the time Aaron Rodgers rolled into town. We know that end was rocky in Green Bay for a lot of Brett Favre-related reasons, but here he was on Bowling with Favre, which I guess is his podcast, talking about what Aaron Rodgers may do going forward.
And knowing Aaron, and I think I know him fairly well. If he has a grudge, whether it be against the organization or a player or an arch rival or family, friends, he ain't budging. I don't see him coming back and saying, if this is not resolved, however, whatever the issue is, if it's not resolved, or if, even if it's resolved, but he feels like they got one up on him, he ain't going to play. Knowing Aaron, he would sit.
I appreciate that the reason he believes Aaron Rodgers is capable of sitting is because he can hold a grudge a mile wide. That was apparently the take. That seemed like kind of just slipping something passively aggressively in there. But that being said, I agree with him. I think we all understand personality-wise who Aaron Rodgers is. I just always go back to, he is one of the hardest things to find in sports. And so I'm always going to lay a little more blame at the feet of Green Bay. Yeah, you could talk about the roster, all the things about them being 13-3. I get it. Most of those things are Aaron Rodgers. They've done a very good job constructing the rest of that offensive roster. Defense, we can have a conversation. But again, it's just the courtesy of saying, like, it's not a difficult thing for someone who matters a lot to your organization to make sure they're up on all the plans. And when I say matters a lot, I mean is the most important thing inside that building, bar none. But whose side are you on? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, Aaron Rodgers or the Packers? Let's go to John in Spokane. John, you're on Chenea Ngola Jr. Whose side are you on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I have competing interests as a lifelong Broncos fan, but I'm... I'm 100% on Rodgers' side. I mean, Green Bay needs him a lot more than he needs them. And, you know, you mentioned that comment from Bradshaw, and it's kind of, you know, it's classic Bradshaw. He's kind of a generational guy. He made similar comments when John Elway came in the league way back in 1983 and refused to play for the Colts. He said, who cares who you are? You say you're a California guy. You should do what you're told and just come to the league and be happy to be here. And that's not the way – that's not the way it was then. It's certainly not the way it is now. Players have leverage, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers has every right to flex that and expect more from the team.
And, John, I think you're right, especially about the word leverage. I think that's the most important part to remember here is I think more often than not what we see people getting mad at is the idea that someone has enough leverage to be able to mess with their favorite thing. And we know people tend to root for teams over the players because they can move. And this idea that teams for so long have been able to control this is always going to be something that takes a little bit getting used to. But like it or not, like John said, Aaron Rodgers is the most important person in that building. He is the best person at his job in that building. Maybe right there, you know, just above David Bakhtiari. But we'll get to more of your calls. 888-729-3776. We'll get to that, the Packers versus Rodgers. But coming up next, we'll also look at who should be worried and who we should be scared of heading into the NBA's play-in tournament. We'll get to that after this word from 303 Products. Are you looking for a professional level of protection for your car's paint, but without the cost you'd pay for a professional detailer? New revolutionary 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating provides just that. 12 months of protection with a simple mode of application. You can do it yourself. I've done it. My brother's done it. It takes no time, it is so easy, and it's going to leave your car with insane levels of finish and shine and depth. Plus, the water beading's crazy. Your car is never going to look better. It also helps keep your car looking that way longer, too. The layer of protection helps repel dust and fights off water spotting. It does this by making the water shed quickly from the surface and lowering the surface temperature so the water doesn't end up drying on the paint. It's also great. You can use it on your car's glass, the wheels, the trim, everywhere. Now available at Advance Auto Parts and Pet Boys locations nationwide. Or you can learn more by visiting 303radio.com. Who's afraid of the big bad curry? Next on ESPN Radio.
Chenea Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Steph, your ninth 40-point game this season. How do you describe the zone you're in right now?
I'm just playing with confidence.
If you don't put Steph Curry in your top five, I think it's ludicrous.
Chenea Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We'll get back to 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Aaron Rodgers versus the Green Bay Packers. Whose side are you on? Because I'm genuinely interested in taking the temperature on this one. I'll let you know where I stand. It's not shocking that I see this from a player's side of things. But before we get to all that, we got to look around the association from last night, because I was hearing some pretty bold claims from Scott Brooks, the Wizards head coach, after the latest triple-double phenomenon from Russell Westbrook. And so to help us out with that one, Bruce Bowen, our ESPN NBA analyst, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on, Bruce?
What's going on, Junior?
I'm hanging out, man. We're happy to talk to you, but I need to ask you this straight up, because I heard Scott Brooks say it, and I need to make sure that I'm not like a hater or anything like that. Scott Brooks is out here saying he believes that Russell Westbrook is the second best point guard of all time. Am I crazy for thinking that he's not even the best point guard in the NBA right now?
No. Let me first start off with this. Number one, you're not crazy. And number two, Scott Brooks makes a very good point here. It's more about the productivity of what he's been able to do wherever he's been. You take a player like Russell Westbrook, who was not a guy that people touted as going to be a star in this league. He didn't have all the accolades like a Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James coming out of high school. This is someone who has worked and continued to work and build at his craft. Now he's been able to go to a team that you look at the point guard productivity with him at the helm as compared to John Wall the past several seasons that Washington has been in existence with them, is completely different. Russell does so many different things, and the part that I love most about his game, Junior, is that he brings a certain nastiness and a certain aggressiveness, and it makes others better. It makes others start to look at themselves and say, am I working hard enough, or am I going to be able to work at the level of what he's doing? He's an all-star player. He's an accomplished individual. He's an MVP, but he still goes at it, and that's what you need, especially in today's game. So I haven't taken that statement of what Scott Brooks has said and started looking at all the point guards. You look at the point guards that's had what he's had, I think Scott is making a very good statement in saying that, Golden.
Well, and he's making a statement. Listen, certainly he's got to go and coach him every day. And as you mentioned, that's an intense dude you got to walk into the locker room with. So I'd have his back too. But let me rephrase it then, Bruce. Right now, Washington's sitting at the 10 spot, so they'd be in the play-in, as are the Golden State Warriors out west. If you're heading into the playoffs, which team are you more afraid of? Which guard are you more afraid of facing in one of those elimination-style tournament play-in tournaments?
I'm more cautious of Washington because of what Bradley Beal has been able to do this year. He's had an amazing season. This is, you know, it's one thing when you are a recognized individual in this game, and it's what do you do after that? He's taking his game up to a level where I didn't see this coming in. Always, whenever I see him, I'm like, what's up, two guard? Because he just has a prototypical two guard frame and the way he shoots the ball. But now, Golic, he's taking guys off the bounce. He's coming, you know, he's deadly coming off catch and shoot, but his creativity with the basketball is reminiscent of what Steph was able to do when he started handling the ball a little bit more, creating shots for himself as compared to just being a catch and shoot guy. The thing that worries me about the Warriors that when it comes to shooting, it's Steph. And yes, it looks good right now, but in the playoffs, I guarantee you this, each and every coach is going to say, put two guys at him, have one guy roll. Kind of like in football, you got that rover watching back in the day, Michael Vick and Tony Romo, just in case they decide to run. Now, I apologize for mentioning Michael Vick and Tony Romo in the same sentence. Because
I'm glad you brought it up. I had to say something.
I am a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. But, no, it's you can take away, I think, the strengths of what Golden State does more easily than what you can do when it comes to the Washington Wizards. You look at what they're able to do as far as the Wizards are concerned. Russell Westbrook, he can dominate at that point guard position on either end of the floor. Steph, you're going to get the scoring, but then it's the liability on defense.
Janane Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. talking to three-time NBA champion Bruce Bowen, our ESPN NBA analyst. And Bruce, one of the other things we saw over the weekend, over the last couple of days, I should say, the Lakers get a nice big win over the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic. Anthony Davis and this group starting to look like they're getting back into form. What's your biggest concern with the Lakers outside of just health heading into the postseason?
Right, it's a point guard play, you know, with Schroeder out and then having to get that rhythm back. That's the thing. At this particular juncture, you understand, as you said, Golick, without bar from injury, but it's more about now acclimating guys in a way where they fit into the role of what's going on. Now you have Drummond there. You have Montrezl Harrell coming off the bench. And, you know, Kyle Kuzma, he still hasn't been that consistent player that I would like to see when you're talking about a championship caliber team, so that if there is somebody missing, who can take up the slack? We already understand that the Lakers are fortunate enough that you don't need the prototypical point guard when it comes to the Lakers, because LeBron's going to handle the ball a lot, but you don't want LeBron handling the ball constantly. You want to give a different look. So from that standpoint, I'm a little concerned from the point guard play. And then getting Andre Drummond really in the mix there. And I want him to be, you know, he didn't have training camp with them. He comes over late in the season. But he can really be huge for them when it comes to having two guys on the block and really dominating on the backboard with Anthony Davis as well as Montrezl and Andre Drummond.
And we saw that as a formula that worked a lot for them last year with Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, all these big bodies in the mix. Certainly going to have to be the formula yet again. Bruce, we appreciate you popping on with us, man. Always fun to catch up with you. We're looking forward to plenty more as we get closer and closer to the NBA postseason. Thank you, sir.
Take care. And I'm with you. Aaron Rodgers, do what you want, man. This is a tough league.
There we go. You know what? Thank you, Bruce. The voice of reason on a variety of subjects here. Thank you for the time. We appreciate you, boss. Bruce Bowen, kind enough to give us some time. And that's where I want to stick, because Bruce is, I think, on my side in all of this. Is it is a tough league with a limited shelf life. And when you are one of the rare group of players that has leverage, sometimes you got to go ahead and break that glass in case of emergency. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We want to hear what side you're on, Aaron Rodgers or the Green Bay Packers, and the worst alcoholic beverage ever created by God or man. We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Breaking news and Aaron Rodgers' situation overshadowing the NFL draft. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Packers' star quarterback has told the team he doesn't want to return to Green Bay. The Packers have made it known they have no plans to trade him.
No plans to move on from Aaron Rodgers. You know that old saying, you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail? That seems applicable here. Janane Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Shanae Gwimakay going to be joining us at the top of the next hour. We'll talk about the pressure on NBA teams heading into the play-in tournament. But as we sit here and digest all this around Aaron Rodgers, and I hear people talking about Aaron Rodgers being too sensitive. We heard Terry Bradshaw say that. We heard Warren Moon say that about young players in this league. It reminds me again of what we saw earlier today. Teams that knew their personnel and acted accordingly. We heard from Courtney Cronin, our Vikings reporter yesterday, that the Minnesota Vikings told Kirk Cousins about their plans to draft a quarterback in this draft. Reports even that if Justin Fields had fallen to 14, they were planning on taking him, but they end up with Kellen Mond in the third round. Jimmy Garoppolo, the 49ers quarterback, went on the morning show with KJZ and said that the communication with the front office and him has been great. Both of those teams knew their quarterback enough. Quarterbacks who are comparatively less valuable to their team, to their franchise, than Aaron Rodgers, to give him that. And if you're Green Bay, and you know, yeah, Aaron Rodgers can be a bit of a handful, he can be a bit difficult to deal with, you don't want to try and get out in front of this if your plans really are to draft his replacement. You don't want to loop him in on this. You instead think it would be a great idea to blindside him with that? Knowing your teammate is day one stuff, and it seems like that is lacking in this situation. And that's why I can understand some of the sentiment here, but more than anything, the reason I can understand it is because when you are the best at what you do, and when you're the best at what anyone does in that organization, you got the power and leverage. We all look for it, and we just get mad at the people who have it, because so few of us are ever going to get to that point. And that's why I can't knock Aaron Rodgers. I might look at objectively the situation and say, yeah, you might not be able to find a lot better situations elsewhere for you as far as on the field, chances of getting back to a Super Bowl at age 37. But I also don't know what it's like to be able to hold that much power in your hands, to know that if you leave that organization, it is going to deflate quickly. Like, unless they have hit for a third time on a future Hall of Fame quarterback, which if they had, God love them, the Packers and their owners can feel great about things. I don't understand why there wasn't more of an effort beforehand to try and just an ounce of prevention keep yourself away from what you've walked into now. Very angry Aaron Rodgers. But we want to hear about what your side on. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's go to John in Minnesota. John, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. Whose side are you on, Rodgers or the Packers?
I'm with the Packers on this one, guys.
Why is that?
So, I think it was imprudent of Green Bay to not have more communication with Rodgers. But at the same time, they made it very clear that they have no intention of getting rid of him or replacing him in the foreseeable future. And Rodgers is smart enough to know that. I mean, I think he's arguably the best and definitely the top three quarterbacks right now. He knows that. Everyone knows that he's not going anywhere and that he's going to start for as long as he wants to. And if Rodgers wants to leave, that's probably because I think two things. One, he's mad that he lost his third NFC title game in the last 4 years. And two, he can't swallow his pride and admit that.
Well, I think two is that they drafted his replacement. Like, you got to understand, this is a very human business. Like most of us, I think we look around and these are great to talk about in the abstract. And then when you get in that situation, we're all of a sudden, and I've had plenty of friends who have watched their replacements get drafted behind them, and look up and take it some kind of way, because we say all the time, it's just a business, it's not personal. That's only applying until it's you. Then it's a really hard thing to swallow. Let's head to Mike in Dallas. Mike, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. Whose side are you on, Rodgers or the Packers?
Rodgers, 100%. Lifelong Packer fan, grew up 50 miles away from Green Bay and lived through the Lynn Dickey and Don Majkowski years, which were painful as can be, and then Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, which have been fantastic. And to see how they've treated Rodgers is just offensive and painful to witness. Not giving him support, not giving him the tools, not being just honest and forthright with him.
I think that's the most important part, because I can look, and I think there's a middle ground to this conversation on what he's been given tools-wise in this offense. We know he's got a number one receiver, right? Like, we know Devontae Adams is great. We know his left tackle might be the best in the league. We know the defense could be a little bit better, but in general, he is well-protected. He's got one great weapon, and we'd like more. But they've created value. Aaron Rodgers is part of that. He's a victim of his own success and how good he can make some of these players, some of these skill players look on this offense. But listen, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari, these are guys that are legitimate top fives at their position, if not higher. And so I think there's a middle ground on the tools conversation. But again, I don't think it's hard, especially when you've got the bedrock of the relationship you do, when you've won a Super Bowl with this guy, when he's got multiple MVPs with your organization, and he's been around and mattered as much. You brought him in as a first-round pick. You come in with the owner's arm around your shoulder, and I say that tongue-in-cheek with the Packers, but you get the idea. You're one of the anointed ones when you're a first-rounder coming in. The organization looks at you a little different than they look at the rest. And yet, with all that bedrock, you couldn't do someone the courtesy of giving them a heads up of what your plan is going to be. That's the least, the absolute lowest bar to clear of professional courtesy in this situation. And you make that one, and the butterfly effect off that gets us to where we are now. Is there part of Aaron Rodgers at fault? Probably. He is, again, probably someone who we've seen anecdotally is tough to deal with, but ultimately, the Packers started making this bed a while back. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up next, we'll get Chenea Igbuemeke back in the chair and talk about who the most feared team heading into the play-in tournament should be. We'll tell you what one NBA star said next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chenea and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.